request to speak here. So, so the topic I want to talk about is, I chose a very short surah of the Quran, a surah that is often recited by many of us in our salah. Now, many of us have been offering salah, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for many years. So if you are 40 years old or 50 years old, you've been doing this for the last 30, 40 years of your life or longer. And the surah may have been a surah that you've been reciting maybe every day. Maybe you're doing this on a daily basis, reciting the surah. The surah I'm talking about is Surah Kul Huwallahu Ahad. Some of us may be knowing a number of surahs, and some of us may be knowing few surahs. And we recite salah, and every rak'at of salah, you have to read Surah Fatiha, and then another surah. And I know some people, they've told me that they recite certain surahs, only the few surahs that they know, and we may be also one of those people that we recite Kul Huwallahu Ahad nearly in all our salah. So this surah that I want to talk about today, I want to share with you some ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also some understanding. Let us try and get a little bit of understanding of the surah. So the background to the surah, as mentioned by some of the ulama of tafsir, is that the mushrikeen, in other words, those Meccans that hadn't accepted Islam in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said to him that you are calling us to your God, that is Allah. But what is the nisbat of your God? In other words, unsub lana rabbak. This is the word they use. In other words, who is your God? Tell us who he is. What is his lineage? Where does he come from? Like that kind of question. That was a question. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah. Now any surah or any ayat of the Quran that starts with the word qul, and those of you who studied a little bit of Arabic will know that the word qul means say. The word qul means say. And in the context of the Quran, where you see the word qul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The conversation is taking place between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you say this. This is what you must say. These people are asking you this question. This is the answer you must give them. Wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Qul, it's a conversation, direct conversation. The whole Quran is a direct conversation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu is the recipient of the Quran. The Quran is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him directly, and Allah speaks to him directly via the agency of Jibreel alayhi salam. This is how it was revealed. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing him first, that, O Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them in response to this question, this is what you must say. What must you say? Say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And the words here in Arabic are very easy. And none of us here can, I don't think any of us should leave here today without knowing at least three Arabic words. One is qul, the second one is huwa. Huwa means he. Allah, everybody knows. So Allah is saying, so if you know those three words, you know the meaning of this verse. And when you know the meaning of this verse, Whenever you recite it in your salah, you know what you are saying. And this is a very important thing that I think a lot of us need to maybe give some consideration to, that we've been reading salah for so many years. Is it just a ritual? We recite Quran. Is it just a ritual that you recite? We don't know what is being said. But there is, it's not like that. There is a meaning behind everything we do. And if we include this meaning and bring in this meaning, and the only way we're going to get it is if we learn and we study. The importance of studying the Quran and the meaning of the Quran cannot be overemphasized. A person can live his entire life. Sometimes a person, he lives his entire life, and I'll be honest with you, these kind of things I think about. I look at a person and I say, look at this man, he's lived for 60, 70 years. Not to judge anyone, think about yourself. But you lived for 60, 70 years, you did so many things in this life of yours, in terms of the dunya, even in terms of the deen, you did so many things. But how much effort did you ever put to say that, let me understand, you know, when I stand on the musalla and I say Allahu Akbar, and I read Surah Fatiha, and I read some other surah, let me understand, what am I saying? And I cannot overemphasize the importance of this. So, just to check, what time we stop here? 10:02. So, in this surah, the first verse is very easy. In fact, the entire surah is very easy. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that say, oh, Ya Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, huwa, he, Allah, is one. Huwa Allahu Ahad. Huwa, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Ahadun. The word Ahadun means one. Many of us will know the word Wahidun means one. Ahadun also means one. Huwa Allahu Ahadun. Allah is one. And this is the most important teaching of the religion of Islam. The oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You had other religions, mushrikeen in Mecca at the time, they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But together with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they had other gods that they believed in. So the first thing that Islam came to eradicate was shirk. There can be no other God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do we mean when we say there can be no other God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We mean that there is no one that deserves your worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In terms of worship, ibadah, praying to a divine being, the only being that is divine, or the only being that you pray to, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't pray to anyone else. This means Allah is one. The second thing, meaning of Allah being one, is that in this entire universe, every single thing besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single thing besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created by Him. And in this entire universe, every single thing that happens, happens through Him. He is the doer of every single thing. No one has control over anything. No one. Besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with saying Allah is one, and this is it's a very broad concept, and we can go into much detail, but I'm trying to summarize it. The meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one is that nobody shares with Him in any of His attributes and qualities. Nobody. So this tawheed, This belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the most, or it is the most important thing in this religion of Islam. Nothing comes close to it. And that is why we find in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this surah, Surah Kul Huwa Allahu Ahad, it embodies this concept of Tawheed. It's a very, very short surah, but it is so great. In length, if you read it, Kul Huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid Wa Lam Yulad Wa Lam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is equivalent to 1/3 of the Quran. You read that much. And in fact, it happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came out one day and he told the Sahaba, gather around, I'm going to recite to you 1/3 of the Quran. So Sahaba all got together. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kul huwa Allahu Ahad, Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid Wa Lam Yulad, Wa Lam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad. And then he went into his house. So Sahaba were looking at one another, that what happened? He said he was going to recite 1/3 of the Quran to us. What happened? Maybe he's got some news came from the sky that he went to receive. Let's wait, let's see what happened. So they waited outside. When he came out again, he asked what happened. They said, you said you're going to recite 1/3 of the Quran to us. He said, didn't I not recite Kul Huwa Allahu Ahad to you? It's equivalent to 1/3 of the Quran. So the ulama, you know, elaborate on this. That how is Kul Huwa Allahu Ahad equivalent to 1/3 of the Quran? Now, one is the meaning we know. When you recite it, you get thawab of reading 1/3 of the Quran, inshallah, that is the correct meaning. And that's why many people say, read it 3 times and you recite the whole Quran. And we do that. You know, if you go to the graveyard, for example, you want to convey some reward. That's why we go to the graveyard. We want to convey some reward to the person that's buried there. We call this Isal al-Sawab. The meaning of Isal al-Sawab is to convey reward. That's all it means. How do you convey reward? So you recite something, for that you will get reward by reciting. Any good action you do, you get reward. And then you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what you're doing. You make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He does everything, nobody can do anything. You make dua to Him that, oh Allah, what I have recited, convey this reward to so and so person who is buried in this grave. You don't have to be at the gravesite to do this, by the way. You can, from here, if you have some relative of yours, you don't have to be at the gravesite to do it. It's correct. You don't have to be at the gravesite. From here you can sit and recite. You want to recite Kul Huwa Allahu Ahad 3 times and bestow the reward on somebody who has passed away with the prayer or dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, this Kul Huwa Allahu Ahad that I have recited, your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that is equivalent to 1/3 of the Quran. I'm reciting it 3 times and I want you to convey the reward of 1 entire Quran to so and so person. And you don't have to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are so unlimited that we, if I'm going to tell you the next thing, you'll say, you'll find it hard to believe. But that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures. It's so unlimited that we can't imagine. If you say, I'm conveying this reward to one person, it'll go to the one person. But if you say, I'm conveying this reward to the entire Muslim ummah who passed away, it'll go to all of them. And ulama differ, and I must be honest, they differ whether it will go to all of them, and many of them say, the full reward will go to each one. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures are so unlimited. So this surah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equated to 1/3 of the Quran. The question that we ulama ask, why 1/3 of the Quran? So some ulama give this answer, which I seem to prefer. The answer is that if we read the entire Quran, this entire religion is based on this Quran. Nobody has any doubt in that. There's 3 topics in the Quran. Three main topics that your entire religion rests upon. And you learn this maybe in madrasa, maybe in some other place. The first thing is Tawheed. Tawheed means to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all his qualities. You know, when you went to madrasa, they taught you iman mufassal or iman mujmal. And in iman mujmal, they taught you amantu billah kama huwa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa qabiltu jami'a ahkamih. That I believe in Allah like how he is. Amantu billahi kama huwa. With all his qualities. And I accept all his ahkam. So this is the first thing. The second thing in the Quran, that the Quran talks about, the second major topic. There's three major topics in the Quran. Tawheed is one. The second major topic in the Quran is Risala. Prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To accept all Anbiya alayhimus salam as prophets, in other words, people, human beings, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has communicated with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't communicate with every single person sitting here. He doesn't do that. His system works like this. He selects certain individuals and he communicates with those individuals. And those individuals, we call them prophets. The last of those individuals, the final prophet, after whom there is no prophet to come, is none other than our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever we say his name, we pray for him by saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless him and give him peace. Wherever we say his name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because he was that selected individual that Allah chose to communicate with. And his duty was to convey this message to the rest of mankind. The second major topic in the Quran. The third major topic in the Quran, and the third major part of our religion, is Akhirat. Akhirat. The belief that we are here in this world, but this is not the be-all and end-all of our existence. We all are here now, and we all believe that we are here now. You know you exist now. But when you die, what happens? Have you seen people dying? What happens after that? What happens after you die? So this is the third fundamental part of our deen, Akhirat. After you pass away, what happens? There's a hereafter, a life to come here after this life. So in general, there's three major parts of our religion. Tawheed, Risala, and Akhirah. Tawheed, Risala, and Akhirah. In this surah, the concept of Tawheed is elaborated in full, in this short surah. In this short surah, the concept of Tawheed is elaborated. In other words, one third of the entire religion is contained in this surah. One third of the entire Quran is contained in this surah. And therefore Rasulullah ﷺ said, this surah is equivalent to one third of the Quran. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ. The second verse says, Allah is الصَّمَدْ. The word الصَّمَدْ is an Arabic word. Some people keep their names Abdus Samad, the slave of As-Samad. As-Samad is an Arabic word, according to Mufassirin, according to Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the meaning of As-Samad is that leader. You know, in a society you have a person, and especially in the Arab society, they had tribes. And in these tribes, you know, people became leaders. But in a small tribe, one person is a leader. If you go a little bit wider, you know, we can think of it as like, you know, if we have like I don't want to say this, but just for understanding purposes, you know, you have like sometimes some gangs or maybe some drug cartels, and you have some mafia or something, and you have this man is the boss. But above him, if he goes a little bit wider, there's one boss above him. And above him, there's another boss. When you reach the man right at the top, this man is As-Samad. The Arabs used to call him As-Samad. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allahu As-Samad. Allah is the one whom everyone eventually has to turn to for their needs. You can turn to today, you can turn to your boss, and your boss will turn to his boss, his manager, and he'll turn to the CEO, and the CEO will turn to the chairman of the board, and the chairman of the board will turn to somebody, we don't know. But eventually, everybody has to turn to this one being, and that being is As-Samad. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why if you open a translation of the Quran, and I would encourage you to do that, to open translations of the Quran. And before I came here and I was requested to come, I opened one translation to see how do you translate this word As-Samad in English. And I opened the translation of Zaki Hamad, and in his translation he translated the word As-Samad as the eternal refuge. The eternal refuge, which gives a very similar meaning. The one to whom you eventually need to take refuge in. Temporarily you can take refuge in any other being, but eventually the one where nobody else is above him, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-Samad. And then there's another two ayat, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. Time doesn't permit us to talk about those two ayat. But I would recommend and encourage you, if you have an opportunity to study the meanings of the Quran, you can read a translation, you can read a tafsir. Or if there's any tafsir classes or tafsir program taking place in your area, I would encourage you to take part in that. For this, with this intention, that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm going to end on this, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kalam. Whom he selected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to communicate with. He revealed this Quran to him, and he said, propagate this Quran to the entire world. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba to propagate it to the entire world in Hajjatul Wada. He said, Balighu anni walau aya. Even one verse, propagate it to the entire world. We as Muslims first need to understand it. It must come to us first. And then propagate it to the entire world. But how are we going to do that? How are you going to understand what the Quran is telling you? It's like you received, and I remember somebody gave this example, and this is, I'm concluding on this, that you received a letter, maybe you had some woman that you were married to, and now for some reason she's in another country, and you are here, and she's in France, and now she writes this letter to you in French. This long letter she wrote to you, and you received the letter, came, now you got this letter in French in front of you. You don't know what it means. But you don't even make any attempt to learn what it means, to know what it means. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to me. One of the pious elders used to say that when I want Allah to speak to me, I read the Quran. And when I want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I offer salah. So with these words I conclude. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the understanding of the Quran, to understand it correctly, to appreciate what it is teaching us, and to apply those teachings in our life. Because this Quran is guidance through and through. Hudan lil muttaqin. And if we want guidance in our life and we want to be guided, then we need to connect ourselves with this Quran. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.